Okay. As we are rapidly approaching Marcia's bedtime, we have to get started here. Marcia's had a long, difficult day. There's certain Gemaras which the people listening online likely won't be able to appreciate, but those in the room will. I call them Irving Gemaras. And
Right.
He was going to say it was right. Made up.
But because the Gemara, if a person reads it without the requisite knowledge, it just sounds so ridiculous. But if a person has even the slightest bit of Torah knowledge, they understand the importance and depth of each and every part of it. So we start with the most amazing Gemara here in Chagiga. This Gemara sounds at best irrelevant, at worst outlandish. The Gemara says, Shaul is Ben Zoma. They ask Ben Zoma, Besula she'ibra ma'hi hu'le kohen gadol. If a virgin becomes pregnant and gives birth, can she marry a kohen gadol?
Wow. How could she get a virgin?
You just think about it to yourself. Okay? Okay? So.
Sounds like the Mishagoyim,
right? I
listen, Jewish.
Right, so I don't know if I had it would be miraculous, maybe even immaculate. So so that's what the Gemara wants. Right, Franco Harris, the Immaculate Reception. So the question is, mi chayshinun l'dishmuel. So how did this happen? The woman's pregnant. And as she says, I'm a virgin. So the verse says, Yocho ani levol kama b'ilos b'lo dam. One possibility is that there is perhaps a way that that a person could have intercourse and still remain a virgin, meaning that the hymen will remain intact. So dilma d'shmur o shchicha, that's not so common. So mohu d'shmur o shchicha chashin shema b'ambati ibra. The question is, well, maybe she became pregnant this way, right? Perhaps the woman entered a bathtub and there was a man in the bathtub beforehand. And because of that, that is how she became pregnant.
Where's Ted
Engel
when we need him?
Europe someplace. For Amr Shmuel, Aye, wait a second, would this really work? Yeah, this in fact is a possibility this could happen. So the Gemara introduces us to a concept of nisabra ba'ambati. There is a way that a woman can become pregnant without ever having had intercourse. Marcia has that face of, oh, now I understand. So.
Wow, she was sneaky.
Thank you,
Grandma.
Well,
what do you think, Grandma?
I think this one
Grandma is obviously deep in thought. So
I don't think this one can go on.
Don't be
embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. I think we're better. This one no longer is going on long term. Marcia, our community can't look this bad.
Ron will be very busy editing.
Do you have any tapes? Does now.
Sometimes people in New York just don't believe what I go through. It's always important to have
evidence. This is your summer vacation.
This is evidence. Rapley's Believe It or Not, I call it. So, So this does not, in the opinion of Marcia, this is probably not a very relevant case. It probably doesn't happen much. This idea of a person becoming pregnant without the benefit of intimacy does not sound something that is highly likely.
One out of a million people.
Okay, you keep it to yourself. So, but keep on thinking. So, right now. Oddly, this is what this concept of nisabra ba'ambati is mentioned in this one Gemara in Chagiga. And interestingly, we don't hear much about it, but there is a very odd and famous medrash. I'm not going to read the Medrash inside due to fear of comments as I do it. So I'll just tell the story outside, and that will give you a general idea. This case actually happened one time through a very convoluted fact pattern. Everyone wants, they can read it here at number two themselves. But it would seem that Yirmiyahu managed to have a child with his daughter through this method. And the name, accidentally. And the name of that child was Ben Sira. Have anyone ever heard of Ben Sira before?
Yeah, but I don't remember the concept.
Right, Ben Sira is one of the books of the Apocrypha. And this Ben Sira, actually, it was called Ben Sira, according to this, because Sira is the gematria of?
Sarah.
Close, Yirmiyah. 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 Mm. So.
And it was a son, I take it.
Right, Ben Sira, not
right.
Bas Sira. Right, confirmed.
Confirmed. Wait.
No. Well. Work on it.
I just did it.
Yeah?
Are you spelling it right?
What?
Are you spelling it right?
Can
I have some people? It's the Yossi Gematria. Add three or four.
Sira Samach Yud Reish Aleph is?
271.
Yirmiyahu.
It does not have any Aleph in it.
No, but it has a Hain above.
Which equals 11.
Wait, where here? Where's
their above in Yirmiyahu? Right. So, right. You don't even have to add three or four. Right? So, in fact, Jenny, it is so.
Thanks for checking.
Yeah. Thanks for keeping us all straight.
Exactly.
So we have here these two, what we would call them perhaps primary sources. We have one. Yes.
Is this the bathtub approach?
What?
The bathtub approach?
So we have here, the Gemara has, right, the idea that there is such a concept of nis'abra be'ambati, that a woman could become pregnant without having any type of physical contact. That's A. And in fact, we have a story where it once happened, where this fellow, Ben Sira, is the son of Yirmiyahu, based on a similar story. Now, again, still, Marcia still has this look of disbelief on her face. That would be Marcia Greenstein, Marcia Wynn Greenstein.
So. It's going back how far? How many times has it happened since then?
Millions.
Really?
You're about to hear.
Okay.
Stay tuned. In fact, right, so again, this sounds, in the opinion of Marcia, even if she would accept it, she would say it's one in a million. Right? This is highly, highly unlikely. But despite that, there is a fair amount of later discussion regarding this case. So, for example, in the event that a woman would become pregnant in this way, would the child be related to the father? Since the father never lived with the woman, biologically, it's the father, but the question is, forget biologically, what about halachically? In the event that a man has a child that way, there's a lot of questions we could ask, right? Let's say the father would be a Kohen. Would this child be a Kohen? Let's say, does this count towards Peru or Revu for the father? Right?
Populating the earth.
Let's say the father's a Mamzer. Would the child be a Mamzer?
There's not much of a chance that we won't even know who the father is in this case.
What?
It's a
public. There's only one other guy in that bathtub.
Right. Everyone else in the town showers. Right. So, this is something that gets a fair amount of discussion. We start with the Chokas Mechokek, who's number three on our list. He says, Haya Habein Mamzer, Yesh Listapek, Isha Shinis Abra Ba'ambati. One has to wonder, if a woman has a child through this method which we discussed, in kiyim ha'av peru urevu, does the father, in fact, has he been yotzei the mitzvah peru urevu? In mikri b'no l'kol davar, is he considered his son for everything? And does the son have to honor this father of his, this biological father? Ubilikute maharil, the maharil, one of the great rishonim, writes, Nimsa shebein sira haya binoshel yirmiyah. Sherachas ba'ambati ki sira b'gematria yirmiyah. So the Chalkas Mechalke quotes the Maharil, who says, of course he's the father. How do I know that? Because Ben Sira is another word from Ben Yirmia. So even though the way that Ben Sira's mother became pregnant was not through the standard method, still the father is considered the father. So based... Right, but it's... Right. Well, Ben Kenobi's father's name is not Kenobi. Just saying, just putting that out there. But Sira is a nickname for Yirmiyah. That's why I think it's the same gematria. Yeah, it is. Okay, good. Right. So that's the idea that he is still named after him, etc. So that is.
Then basically, in Jewish law, then it's the gametes that count.
It's the DNA.
Gametes. Yeah.
Right. That would be this opinion. That as far as Peru Revu goes, as far as it goes, you're the father. Now, again, we discussed this, I think, 2 years ago. We spent a lot of time on the issue of who's your mother, right? In the event, because you could have a gestational mother and you could have a biological mother, right? So this is the male equivalent.
Except you have a father or you don't have a father.
Which is fine, right? And halachically, you don't need to have a father. Right, in the event that your mother is Jewish and your father is not Jewish, who is your father? Who's your daddy?
No one.
No one, right? That's a possibility when it comes to fathers. Again, instead of the option possibly being this person or that person, right? It's this person or nobody.
So Kohen Yisrael or Levi, if you don't have a father,
you are clearly not a Kohen or a Levi.
So you're Yisrael.
Right, again, this is a question that comes up all the time. We have it in shul from time to time. How do you call the guy? How do you call him up to an aliyah?
Ben Abba.
No, he's not Ben Abba. He's not a ger.
Isn't there that family that like
that's where
wants to go to Shiva John or something, but they don't have a father? I could be mixing the story up completely. But
I think it's in the Chumash. I think that story, right? The Makalel.
Yeah.
Right. So that was a guy whose mother was Shlomis Bas Divri Lamate Don. And whose father was not a member of the tribe, or any tribe for that matter. And therefore, there's a question, where does he go live? Because he's not a member of any tribe. Right? That's the story. So the Chalkos Mechokek turns around and he says, in fact, it would seem from the story of Ben Sira that biological father is father. Right? And when it comes to mother, it might be a different story, but when it comes to father, that's what he's saying. The Beis Shmuel says, well, not so quick, because there's another source out there. He says, "Kasa b'chelkas mechoke yeshve stopping ishus nes abra ba'ambati im ha'av kayim peru revu v'nikra b'no l'chol davar." The question is, this very question, in the event that you went through this, would seem to be rare case, what is the story? He says, "Yesh yirai v'masha kosa b'hagos smak v'habach hevi b'yoredeya." The Bach in Yoredeya quotes the following halacha. Some people might be familiar with it. Isha Musharas Sha'al Tishkav al Sodin Shashachav Aleha Ish Acher Penta Aber Mishikhva Zera Shal Acher. A woman should not sleep on sheets that a man slept on beforehand, lest she become pregnant. Gezera Shema Yisa Achose Me'aviv Nishra Havi Benoah Choldover. So what? So she'll become pregnant. What's the big deal? What? Well, again, I'm not a doctor, but if you turn to one next to you, if she's Anita, she's probably not becoming pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, can happen.
Biologically unlikely.
Yeah.
But so is the whole thing.
And you're pregnant usually not. Like
not because of the clean day. Sometimes if somebody has
a short cycle. Okay. Well, so you're talking about that not that she's actually
bleeding,
but
right.
Okay. Okay. But you know, and so what if she's Anita? Can't become pregnant when you're Anita. Mm-hmm. We'll discuss. Right. So he said the concern is that potentially this child that you would have will marry a sibling.
That's the worry. Right.
Now, what does that say regarding paternity? So again, the concern isn't, what do you mean you're going to marry a sibling? How are they going to marry a sibling?
Unknowingly, because you don't know who
Right, meaning that you're going to marry the father's other child, indicating that the father is
important.
The father.
You can say the father.
And maybe a nice guy, maybe not. But again, the father, clearly paternity does apply based on this concern. Because if the father wasn't the father, then you could marry that man's child and it would not be a sibling. Mm-hmm. So again, so this is a second proof that paternity follows biology. That is the second one. The Taz is not so convinced. So again, the Chokas Mechoki says, I have a proof from Ben Sira, right? The Beis Shmuel says, I have a proof from the fact that we told the woman not to sleep on the sheets. Right? Put that after that. So Isha Tizar Shal Rishkov, Al Sadin Shachav, Al Avisha Achep, and the Savim Shechazar Shal Achep, Gzer Shema Yisa Achosu Me'aviv. So we have two proofs already that in fact this is paternity. The Ein Zaraya, not a proof. Why not? The Shema L'chumra Aminon L'kula Lo. Maybe this is not really two. Maybe he is the father. Maybe he's not the father. There's a third possibility, and that third possibility is we're not sure. We don't really know. So therefore, we are stringent. We'll say, you know, don't marry that girl who might be your sister, because that might be your father. On the other hand, we turn around to the father and say, you might not have done peruvu, because that might not be your child. This isn't a proof that it for sure is, it's just a proof that we are concerned about the possibility. Now, let's get to the question that we are really discussing, and that is, who cares? Come on, when is this ever going to happen? The rabbis had nothing better to do with it at the time than sit around and make these cases. So that's where we go to Tzvi Pesach Frank. Tzvi Pesach Frank, yes.
You got off of the Monzer too quick for me.
I'll be back.
You are coming back to it?
Okay. There's a lot we're coming back to. Yeah, we're going to come back to a lot.
Okay.
We always come back to the Monzer.
In the night, Tzvi Pesach Frank passed away in the 1950s, I believe. He was the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And the question came up as follows. So he says that there's a new technology out in the world in the 1950s. You know what it's called?
In vitro.
Artificial insemination. In vitro doesn't come until the 70s.
Just wondering.
Right. Artificial insemination involves what? It involves what? A turkey baster. That's spoken as a true doctor. Right? Basically, in the event,
only if you want to have a turkey.
So the basic technology goes like this: that there are certain times that, in order for a woman to get pregnant with a man's sperm, it can use a little bit of an extra push. So to make something very simple, basically what you do is you extract the man's sperm and you place it deeper into the woman than it would get naturally. And then therefore, even if you don't have the Michael Phelps of sperm, it doesn't have to swim so far, and it'll turn out okay. Now, in fact, what you're going to have here is a woman becoming pregnant, God willing, if everything works, without the benefit of intercourse. And that, in fact, becomes the case we've been discussing until now. For all of these centuries and millennium that people were learning these halachas, and it sounded like Marcia said, not practical, right? All of a sudden, this becomes a big deal. So the question is, in the event a couple cannot have children, and the only way it's going to work is if they're going to use artificial means, will that child be related to the father? Yes.
Well, doesn't intentionality come into play here? Because
no.
In the case of the bathtub or the sheets, there's no intentionality, but in the case of the couple...
Did I mention no yet? So let's say I adopt the child and I really, really love the child. And my intention is that this should be my child.
Yeah.
And I'm a Kohen. Am I going to make the kid a Kohen?
No.
Intentionality might matter for Peru.
No.
Now,
I can hear nobody. It makes me happier.
but you're talking about you're talking about a different situation. You're talking about where your biologic.
If that's what matters, it matters whether you had intention or not. If it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter.
But we said that biology does matter.
So that's okay. So according to the opinions that we said, according to the Chalkas Mechokik, and according to the Beis Shmuel, that biology matters, and whether you have intention or not, the answer is that in fact this is your child.
Right.
And in the event that you're a Kohen, your child's a Kohen. If you're a Levi, your child's a Levi. If you're a Mamzer?
No.
That's
on mother's status, doesn't it?
No. Does not the Baya put them? Why?
No.
I'm just saying that's
no. That's only in terms of if they're Jewish or not.
Right.
The mother's not Jewish. I got good news and bad news. The good news is the kid's not a momser.
Right.
Right. I can fix the bad news, though, in this case. Yeah.
Grandma, I used to work at the UCLA Reproductive Endocrinology, and they started with this in vitro, which had a very low
success rate.
Success
and a very high charge.
This isn't in vitro.
Went up to in vitro, yeah.
Oh, what are we doing?
Artificial insemination, what they usually call AIH, artificial insemination from the husband.
From the husband, not from a donor.
Right.
No. Not that it makes a difference. Would it make a difference?
No.
Not biologically.
And some of the donors are a bit creepy.
we'll discuss that after. So that's an important issue, but we're going to hold off on it for now.
Really creepy.
I think I understood it, by the way, by the use of the word creeps. Yes. So that's the question. So all of a sudden, this case, which was totally irrelevant, becomes what Marcia does for a living. So, just like that.
I'm stuck with this intentionality. I hear it doesn't matter. However, you know who the father is in that case.
I know who biologically the father is. Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question, okay? I know that a Jewish man as a child with a non-Jewish woman.
Okay.
Halachically, is that man the father of the child?
Yes.
No.
Really?
Why would he?
And I know who the father is, but he isn't.
But why would he still be the father?
Because a
Jewish child.
A Jewish man can't be a father of a non-Jewish child.
Okay, I understand that. But with the artificial insemination by the husband, I don't understand how he's not an entity anymore. If he's the husband to this woman, but they're using an.
So again, as people have noted, every opinion we've said until now says that he is the father. So therefore, at this point, you shouldn't be sweating it.
Okay, fine.
Save the sweat.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so here we are in the 1950s. We have this issue of artificial reproduction. He goes through the things, he goes through the different opinions, he talks about that seems to be the same case as we've had until now, right? This idea of a woman becoming pregnant through the bathtub, a woman becoming pregnant through less than clean sheets, right? It would seem to be the same thing. The woman's becoming pregnant and there was no intercourse. That seems to be the long and short of it. So saying that just like in that place, we've seen the opinions of the Chalkas Mechokik. We saw the opinions of the Beis Shmuel. He says that that in fact the father is the father. So to hear the father be the father, according to the Taz, who says he's not sure. So in this case, he would probably say
not sure,
right? It would seem to transfer over this what would seem to be a impractical case to this what becomes a very practical case.
Wait.
No, not
What was the
Taz is not sure whether, in fact, being the biological father is enough to give you the status of halachic paternity.
Okay.
He says, well, you know, I'm wanting to go a little further than that. So, second paragraph on the second page, I figure I'm a stadim. Oh, the Noah de Ambati, Eno Benoa, Chodover, Kisfeko, Shachokos, Machokek. He said, well, maybe the reason he's concerned about it is as follows. I wouldn't call it intention, but it's close to it. He suggested the idea is that in order to do a mitzvah, you have to do something positive. You have to do an action. Right? You have to knowingly do something. The person who becomes a father through one of these other intermediaries, what was his involvement? He had no... He'll be the most surprised guy in the world when he gets a car for Father's Day. He didn't see that coming at all, because there was no action. When it comes to the case of artificial insemination,
he's involved,
well, right? So then he's saying that perhaps even the opinions that are not so sure about the case of bathtub and bati leading to paternity, they would even agree in this case where the father is involved. Yes?
What about that case of Moshe telling me to go?
So you get schar for it.
Yeah.
That's good.
What's the case?
What? So again, it's a difference between getting a schar mitzvah and, of course, becoming a parent.
But
well, one does not have to follow.
Well,
no, because again, that's different.
I don't know the
The idea is if I accidentally drop a dollar in the street and a poor man finds it, it's as if I gave tzedakah.
So how does that relate to?
So the idea is that you can get a mitzvah without having any intention. I accidentally dropped the dollar. That's her question.
What about the person finding it needing to return it? I mean,
it's a dollar bill. You don't have to return dollar bills because they have no indications of who owns it. If the person actually knows the serial number, they're just weird.
Let's say the guy saw him drop the dollar.
Then you should give it back.
Story.
That's not my story. You can have your story.
I just wanted to know what the reference was, son.
There it is. Now you know.
Got it.
So there you have it. So in fact, the Har Tzvi, but Chief Hesser Frank, applies it, and he says, yes, in fact, he believes that paternity goes along with it. Rav Yonasan Ipshis, in his Perish on the Rambam called Bnei Ahuva, discusses this case as well. And he says as follows. He's got a different concern. Right? That's the question. Now again, Rav Yonasan Ipshis was in the 18th century. We're still living at the time where no one knows how important this is about to become.
What did he say?
Right? He just asked the question.
So he asked the question. And in the end, he says, in fact, yes, you are the father, prove it's good. And the proof is, as we know, from the Ben Sira story. Ben Sira, he said, I don't think you should rely on it. The Gemara says, has a drasha, and says that in the event that a person dies, so if the person dies childless, the wife has to do yibum or chalitza. So the Gemara says, if the guy has a child from anywhere, no matter what the case, he's considered, you don't have to do chalitza. So from any case, what could that possibly mean, the Gemara says? Like what? Either it is or it isn't. It's such an odd comment.
But it has to be a Jewish child.
Right? So the Gemara talks about that, and here's what it says. Amrim Gemara kol makom asuye mai. What do you mean kol makom, no matter what? Amrim asuye mamzer. It says, even if the child's a mamzer, still he doesn't have to do, still you don't do chalitza. But what amrim asuye ben kahai gavna? So why didn't the Gemara say, even if he had a child that was conceived through a bathtub, isn't that a rarer case than a mamzer? So again, you want to give the rarest case, mikol makom, no matter what. Wouldn't that be a better no matter what?
That's rare.
That would really fit in better because it really is a rarer case. So he says to him, so what is the implication of this? The implication of this, he thinks, is that the fact that the Gemara does not choose that option indicates that in fact,
it doesn't work,
if someone did have a child in that way, the wife would still have to do chalitza. Because in fact, the implication would be that the child is not related to the father, and the father will have died childless, according to halacha. Now that's major. Could you, so this at this case, half came up. And 2 years ago in Ashdod, I happened to know the dayan on this case. There was a woman who had four children, and her husband died. The Beis Din finds out that the woman is pregnant once again, and this time the father is her brother-in-law. What would the status of that child be? Mamza.
Well, is he married?
I'm not your mother. I don't have to explain this. But... but
no, her husband had already died.
Her husband died, and now she married her husband's brother, and she's...
Oh, you didn't say that.
You didn't say they were married.
No, so they weren't married. I don't know. Again, we don't know if they're married. It doesn't matter if they're married.
She got pregnant from the brother.
Whether right. So they said...
So that makes them married, right?
No, it doesn't.
With Khalitza, isn't that all you need?
With Yibum.
Yibum.
But there's no Yibum. They got four kids.
Right. Oh,
right.
So she's an Erva.
Right, and that would make Mamzeris. Dr. Jacobs is absolutely correct. So they call her into Beis, and they said, by the way, when this child is born, it's going to have a status of Mamzer. She said, Na'ah. What do you mean, Na'ah? Since it's in Hebrew, of course. Right? So what do you mean by that? He says, what we did was Yibum. Said, but you have four kids. She said, nah, those weren't really his kids.
What does that mean?
Sperm donor.
Same sperm donor?
It doesn't matter.
Right? So what if he turned around and said, kids were born artificially
then
with the father's sperm?
Mm. The man who died?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, then, according to some of the opinions, then she can't do Yibum.
Right. So, again, this would be the question here. So, what the Rav Yonos and Eibshitz is saying, that, in fact, yeah, even if he was the provider of the relevant genetic material, still, they would have to do Yibum because he's not the father.
That's what we're trying to figure out here. That it's not. When did it get settled that he's not the father?
It didn't.
This is one opinion.
No, this is
an opinion.
Okay, then I'm with you.
Good. But he backs out on this. In fact, as it goes on, he explains why. He understands why the Gemara does that. Doesn't have to be clear. But he says, you know what? He said the bottom line is this is not an easy question, and this is. And important, okay? Please? Okay. Right. And this is very, very important, as we'll see. Right? How many kids a year are born artificially?
A lot.
What? Well, I think they say 1 in 10 couples are infertile.
Okay. Well, sperm banks are loaded with sperm, and they use
it. Okay, I assume they'd be loaded with that. Right. But... right, so the assumption is, but this is we're not even talking sperm banks here. We're talking about the father.
Was this the case that it was the father?
No, it wasn't. In that case, as I'm saying, it wasn't quite the case because it wasn't that case. But it would come up all the same. So again, the question of parenthood, as we see, applies in many ways. It applies for the Cohen idea. It comes from all sorts of status ideas. For Chalitza, for Yibum, does it count as the father, etc. The... Chalkas Yaakov, Breish. Yes.
So in the previous case, wouldn't they have asked whether before she got pregnant with the child, wouldn't they have checked that it was a case that they needed to do Yibum or not?
You would have hoped.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
So they just assumed...
On their own.
And carried on.
Yes.
I would assume they would have been
good choice of words. They carried on.
If we're going to assume that she was saying that it was a Yibum situation, I'm assuming that if they're Makbedan Halacha like that, that they probably also got married.
But again, who said they're not to get married? Whether the Mamzeris has nothing to do with whether they're married or not.
No, I understand.
It's totally irrelevant if they got married.
You're asking
in the event that that's her brother-in-law. You can do a chuppah kiddushin every day for months, and you still won't be married.
Yeah. You're saying,
and in the event that, that it wasn't an issue, the kid's not a mamzer with or without marriage.
Halachically, you're not allowed to marry your brother-in-law.
No.
Unless you're doing this.
Correct. This is a case of this is a case where the Torah specifically says it's right up there with like.
Just born out of wedlock.
Like marrying your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the kid would be a mamzer.
Correct. Correct. The Chalkas Yaakov raises an issue that's actually raised here earlier, which is not that relevant nowadays. He says the reason that he thinks that there's no fatherhood in this case is because how do you know which guy in the bathtub? Now, of course, as we'll see going forward on, yes, that might apply to your bathtub case, but it's probably not going to apply to the case of the artificial insemination with the husband's sperm. Right? There's no reason to believe it would be somebody else in that case. So these are... Yes?
Yeah, there are cases like that.
Right. So again, so that points... Again, there's other... we've discussed topics over time. That relates to the quad topic, which I think we never discussed here, actually, is whether you require a mashkiach.
Oh,
we did discuss it.
Okay, I did discuss it. I take it back. It's one of my finest you remember. So, right. But so again, that would be related more to that question. Okay, so here we go. So now we have the background. Now we've got to talk practical. And in fact, this practical is as I plan on continuing this for the next 2 weeks as well. Cases that are offshoots of this basic question of how do you determine paternity? Is paternity a matter of the person that had intercourse with the mother, or is it a matter of the person who gave the genetic material? That is the question we are doing.
So on you're not stopping, are you?
I just did.
Wait.
Someone stop me.
I stopped you. I want to go back to the one, the Dayan that you spoke to. So can you finish that story out?
They all lived happily ever after.
I'm happy to hear that.
Good.
Is there any way that you can say someone who had intercourse with a woman but didn't have the gametes that is the child's gametes is the father?
No. I don't think that's a logical possibility.
But with a woman, if they carry the baby in the uterus, there's some people who say.
Correct, because again, both providing the egg and providing the uterus are really important parts of making a child. Here, just being there isn't worth anything.
I mean,
no, because you don't need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then if you don't eat it, then why is that considered to be an essential part of it?
Because again, that's the definition of it. But again, clearly, you know, if a man lives with a woman, it's hard, and she doesn't become pregnant, you can say, well, you're not a mother, but I'm a father. It's just a hard argument to make. Did what I had to do, thank you very much.
Passing out cigars.
That's right.
Me, I'm just passing out.
That's right. Yeah. So I got the diapers on this one, you get the next one. Right. Yes, Marcia.
This woman who had 4 children by artificial insemination.
At UCLA.
Was married at UCLA. Right. And then she had a child regularly by her brother.
Brother.
Dead husband's brother.
So are they married? They didn't marry?
That's not, yeah, the idea is that in the that you're not allowed to marry a relative of your spouse.
Unless it's for you.
With the exception of this rare case of leveret marriage. So the question was, this is a case of leveret marriage.
Well, he's passed away.
Yeah, the
still
has passed away.
But again,
passed away.
Right.
Otherwise, he should not.
He had this.
So, Frank. So, right.
Specific ceremony.
So,
they
who catered that affair?
David Fine, of course. That was an easy one.
What's wrong?
Okay. Well, so
it's the fact that they weren't married. Is that the whole?
No, that's not.
It was a deliberate marriage.
They were married.
You don't need a rabbi to officiate at a chasana.
Right.
You need a ring, you need a rabbi and kadesha.
Two Adam would be nice.
Two Adam and you're finished.
Right.
So by Yibum, you need two Adam?
No. Oh, that's a question. But again, but in the event, not every couple that lives together out of wedlock requires a get.
That's true.
So again, according to, I think, where you're going, that would not be true.
No, where I'm going is that her husband dies. She has no children at all.
Right.
By artificial insemination or otherwise. Mm. She has no kids. He has no kids. And her brother-in-law comes and says, let's do Yibum. And she says, I'm a Yivama. I'm Zakuka. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm Zokake. They're married.
Mazel tov.
Right. There's nothing
wrong.
Intercourse.
Right. Intercourse. Okay. And
right.
That consummates.
But,
the deliberate marriage.
Right, but in the event,
husband and wife.
But in the event that she did have children, and then the rest happens the same, they're not married.
No, but if she had children by her husband.
By her husband.
Right.
But she said, no, these are not his children.
Well, again, in that case, in fact, she was right. But in the event that it was the case that yes, these children were all made through artificial means, but he had provided the requisite biological material, then we're in this question.
Right.
So did we get this answer?
Are they his children or are they not his children?
Mm-hmm.
If they're his children, she can't marry her brother-in-law.
Right.
But if they're all some stranger's genetic material, there's no problem.
But you're saying there's a situation where it could be ruled that even if it was the husband's genetic material, it is...
It's not a situation, it's an opinion.
It's an opinion they're not his children, so that did not... Is that what they ruled in this case?
No, they did not.
But it wasn't his.
What? This case was not his genetic material.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying it was.
That was the case.
No, she just announced, yeah, I just worked it really well.
That doesn't bother me. So you know, it's not the jaywalk.
Is there any kind of halachic adoption for a father?
As opposed to a mother?
Well, yeah. Well, either. If you adopt, can you...
If a Kohen adopts a child, the child does not become a Kohen. I don't think anyone would disagree with
but
this.
Is that child...
A mom's adopted, is not a mom's either.
Is it a child of that...
Well, in what way?
In regards to what?
So what?
So
the story is this. The short answer is no. Now again, so let's say I have three natural children and then I adopt three children. When it comes time to inherit, it is the natural children that should be inheriting. Now, if I would like to leave to the other children as well.
And assuming that the other children agree with that.
What? Yeah, what? Doesn't matter what they agree with. It's not theirs.
No, but the Yerusha should go to them before it goes to other people.
No, before he dies, he makes them a tana.
What?
To his three adopted children or the three strangers.
Before he dies.
You mean a gift.
Right.
He dies.
Right. You can, just like you can will your entire estate to Eidos.
Marcia.
So,
you did. We have a witness, Rabbi Simon.
No,
right. So.
The question is, if you call someone to the Torah, can you say so and so Ben?
So the truth is, when it comes to calling to the Torah, I could luckily say, you're next. Which is how Sephardim do oftentimes. Right? So you don't really even have to call the person. So I can say, Yamod Yankel Ben Shmerel. I can either say, hey, you. I could say Yamo, the guy in the blue shirt, and if you like to call yourself Yoshua Ben Kenobi, so then okay, then I can call you up as that by that also.
Right.
So therefore, in terms of that's not a problem. If we would be talking about a get, for example, then it would not be so simple. So I tell you,
that's a legal status.
That's a legal document. It has to be indicative of who the person is.
I say
a person who was adopted is getting divorced,
right.
And they want to put in the name of his adopted father,
or getting married for that matter,
right?
For a ketubah also, right?
Right. For ketubah, it's not as problematic. Yeah, you know, ketubah, we are a little bit more flexible, but not terribly. But the idea would be, in a case like that, I would tell you not to hang your get on the wall. But again, but yeah, in ketubah, it's also problematic. When it comes to aliyahs, it just happens to be you can call up the guy however you want. So again, if that, someone comes
it's
over,
ketubah, it's
right, someone says, you know, I want to get called up this way, whatever, so we're makel, fine.
So back to the get, so in terms of the get,
Hover. Yes.
How do they identify? I mean, they identify biological and adopted? I mean, how what happens?
Just biological.
Just biological.
Just biological.
And
what happens if that information is
on? That's a question. How do you do a shtuki? That's a question. You know, it's the case of, you know, someone ends up at your doorstep in a basket.
Yeah.
Right, so they're halachas. Right. That's what we were discussing about this morning.
Yeah.
Shtuki. So, okay. So here we have. So we have a machokas. It seems the majority of the opinions are pointing to the yes parenthood. And of course, this starts becoming very, in more modern tshuvas, it becomes more and more common because artificial insemination grows into IVF, grows into all sorts of fascinating, right? I assume
cloning
will, if it ever happens, will be right down this way as well, right? Right. What if the father did not provide the sperm, but he provided the cheek cell?
Mm-hmm. DNA.
Right. You know. Well, again, you need to have... Right, you could use your cheek cell also.
Exactly.
Right, at that point, men really will be useless.
Exactly.
Right, but assuming...
Right now, they're just mostly useless.
Right. So, very standard question. It was actually alluded to without people knowing it. Oda she'elosa ba'adam she'yashtav v'mishto zeh kama shal. Men's been married for many years. V'lo zachar hibanos, and they haven't had any children. She has a very short cycle. Sounds like she has about a 23-day cycle. As such, she ovulates on the ninth day of the cycle. And on the ninth day of the cycle, she hasn't gone to the mikveh yet. She doesn't go to the mikveh until at least the 12th day of the cycle. At that point, you missed.
She needs a heter.
You have one for her?
You do.
No.
So what are we going to do? So what do the doctors say? So that's not going to work. She hasn't gone to the mikvah. She's what we call halachically infertile.
Can't do anything
about it. We were
She's not halachically infertile. To use artificial insemination, the old turkey plunger.
Right, baster. You want to push it in, I'll pull it out.
You know when the last time I basted a turkey?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll plunge it.
I was going to say, I mean, that Merrill made sure that was the end of it.
No. I'm not
right.
Coming to your house for
Thanksgiving. I'm going to bring you up the turkey from the kitchen.
How did this get stuck in there?
I put it on the floor. I said, not to worry, I'm taking this one out. I have another one exactly like it in the oven.
So, with that happy thought, the question becomes, can you take the man's sperm and insert it using any... any implement that will get it done, right? In order that she can be... Right? Because the assumption is that a man and woman cannot live together when she is an Ida. However, there is nothing that would say, supposedly, that she could, in fact, not have a medical procedure which could lead to pregnancy. So that's Shlav Aleph, we'd say, stage one. But then, of course, stage two is... Okay, we do it. Mazel tov, she's pregnant. But did that help? The mother has a child, but what about the father? Has he been helped by this at all?
Well, since most of the opinion was yes, he's still a father.
So
most people here will agree, yes, he's still a father.
Most people here would agree, that's for sure. So the question is, what about Rav Avadya Yosef?
Oh.
Right, because if we have a machlokes between Rav Avadya Yosef and Marsha, Rabbi Vajda's got some explaining to do, I think.
He's in trouble.
Mm-hmm. So he quotes it and he says, let's get to the fourth one. He starts off by quoting our Bach and Yeridea, right? All these things that we've discussed beforehand. He said, nowadays, you know how important this is? Aleph. Let me ask you this question. Let's say it was donor sperm. What's the status of the child? Who's the father? The donor. Now, wait a second. If a man's married to a woman, and she has a child with another man at that time, what's this?
But you have to have the sexual act to be a mamzer.
That's a chiddush, you're saying.
Yeah.
Right? Right? So again, in the event...
But not to be a father.
Right. Right? We're treading here.
We're splitting hairs.
Right? So now this is important. Because in that case, in the event it's donor sperm, you're kind of hoping that he's not the father.
Right.
Because if
who's he?
The biological father. So this is a question, this actually comes up. I'm sure in UCLA they have this all the time. Man is sterile. Right? Would like to have children. Does not want to actually... advertise the fact that he's sterile, so therefore he would like to get a child that kind of looks like him. What would you recommend, doctor?
Go find someone who looks like you.
I don't know, like your brother?
Well, if it's your brother, he's going to be the father, no?
Brother from another mother.
Right? Dude, where's my car? So the question is, that's not uncommon. Use a close relative. That biologically, the child will be similar, and now you don't have to tell any, right? The woman becomes pregnant, she gives birth, the child looks like the father, for better or for worse.
Well, how can you do that?
Right? So that's the question, you know? And you don't even have to tell the kid.
But that's a forbidden union.
Is it?
There's no act.
That's the point, there's no union.
Act. Okay, it's all about the act. Is it all about the
biology?
Act?
It's all about
that.
Biology. What?
You were concerned about the biology before.
Right, so again, beforehand, we're rooting, as long as it was artificial insemination from the husband, we're rooting that the husband should be the father.
Yes.
All of a sudden, when the artificial insemination is coming from a donor, now we're saying, no, he's not really related to him, it's the other guy. So he said, this idea of paternity is really important. So that's the first case. What if it's donor sperm?
Is it possible that the guy is the person's father, but not the woman's, you know,
he lost me.
Well, that is what happened.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, like, is it possible that halachically he's the child?
You say you can be the father, but the guy's... Well, that's what Dr. Jacobs has been saying, that in order to be a mamzer, there has to be what we would call a bias isser. There has to be an avera that set it off.
An act.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A sexual
right.
act.
Right. I'm gonna ask a question that we're not going to answer for another week or so, mm-hmm. but let me just give you this one. What if the donor was a mamzer?
Then the child...
Why?
He's a coin, the child's not a coin, is he?
Is he? Why not?
Why is the status?
Why would if the donor would be a coin?
One second. Why is the
and you tell me that the biological is the father? Why wouldn't the kid be a coin?
That's
trade the corner of the market.
The momzer thing doesn't make sense. The fact that.
What did it make sense? I asked the question. The question is, what if this happens? That can't not make sense. It could be yes, it could be no. Can't make that.
My question is, my point is, the momzer, he became a momzer because of an act that was done inappropriately. It shouldn't transfer to a future generation. It's not.
What?
It does.
No, it transfers to just that son.
His son.
No.
So
how did the momzer get out of it?
There's no more there's still mamzer. Once a mamzer, always a mamzer.
So how does he get out of it? It's not fair to
him. Well, saying this isn't about being fair.
Exactly.
How much money did you pay in yeshiva education?
I thought it was just that generation.
I want a refund.
Now you know if Avidan doesn't come back anymore.
That's bad.
I already got the refund.
Yes.
Is considered Jewish?
Yes.
So... the new momzer is also Jewish?
Yes.
Can the momzer marry?
Yes.
No, the momzer. The
momzeres.
Or giyaris?
Yes, they can marry.
They can marry giyaris.
But
this kid's going to be a momzer.
Uh-huh.
It just stinks.
It does stink. That is correct. It's confirmed the stinkitude of it. The stinkiosity.
How many people do you think complained to the Kodesh Baruch
Hu? In this room?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
More gentle.
Nobody's playing. Especially in Israel, the Russian Aliyah, with a lot of people with their status. There must be many, many moms there.
What kind of bra? I'll show you.
But
moms are said, yes. I didn't do anything wrong. It's not my fault. I'm a moms.
Don't ask
me. I'll fix that.
Forget it.
This is Elena. They're going to say you right in the middle of the doubting.
Oh, so yes, so the Ravadia says that in fact that's question number one. In the event that there is no paternity, obviously not.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
That's the easy part. Right? If you tell me there's no paternity, we're okay here. Right? If there is paternity, we potentially have a problem.
You're asking a question about whether the donors
right. So again, well, there's two issues. One is the donor a person that the woman can't marry? That's A. And the second, which is anyone if she's currently married to someone.
Right. And can the donor be someone that she can't marry?
Right. And second one is, what if the donor themselves is a mamzer? Right. That's A. Because as you would admit, it's hard to say that bias iser has something to do with passing it down genetically, mamzeris, as we've seen. Usually, it passes down without it. Beis chen im karbol mi chum baro bi yemei nidos ein havar pog lechashev nida. The next thing is also, you know, to the extent to what are we concerned about the fact that she became impregnated while she's a nida? That doesn't relate to our question. And the last thing, which we really care about, Gimel Shavuot Miyachis Acher Ha'av. To what extent do we care that that there is a relationship with the father? Is this kid going to be related to siblings that the father has? Is the child going to be a Kohen? Will he have the status? Will he be Chayv in Kibbut Aveim? Will the father be Mekayim Peru Ravu? What about Yerusha? What about Chalitza? Right? There's no... Could be nobody. That is a halachic possibility, right?
It could be somebody from the bottom of the bath.
So, could be.
And if it's nobody, it's not even the current husband.
Right. Right. Mincha Shlomo goes back, quotes the Chalkas Yaakov, who says he's concerned about the fact that when it comes to the case of Ambati, do you know who's the father? He says, well, nowadays, we're not concerned about that. When we're talking about IVF, when we're talking about any of these cases, we're not really concerned about it because you know who the father is, right? The concerns that you had in the older days in the bathtub do not translate over to the current days. In terms of practical psak, so the Tzitz Eliezer of Eliezer Waldenberg was accepted